Chapter 36. Reforged. Battle Barge Charybdis, 4 decks. After leaving the Strategium, Zetos had summoned Zathan over the Vox and had him form squads from the pyre to sweep the Charybdis. The ship had its own cadre of armsmen, but Zetos had ordered them confined to barracks to be used as a last resort only. A 5-man squad was maintained on the bridge, but that was the only concession. Legionaries alone would patrol the decks while they were in the storm. Due to its immense size, much of the Charybdis had been shut off and sealed. Entire decks lay cold, empty, and unlit, the vital life support funneled to inhabited parts of the ship. A schematic denoting active zones and decks overlaid Zetos's right eye lens. Constantly evolving as he and his squad advanced through the vessel, the map updated in real time as areas were checked and deemed secure.
"Brother Sergeant,"
Abidemi's voice eased Zetos from his thoughts. He focused on the end of the corridor section they had been patrolling and saw a figure there he recognized. The others saluted as the figure approached. So did Zetos, albeit belatedly.
"I had thought you'd be at the Sanctum," he said.
"I was,"
replied Numeon, nodding to Abidemi, Dakar, and Vorko.
"I can send a squad to watch over the Primarch."
"That won't be necessary. Orn and Rand stand guard. The Sanctum is sealed. Vulcan is as safe as he can be."
Orn and Rand were fire drakes, 2 of the few who remained, and warriors cast from the same mold as the pyre guard. Numeon held out his gauntleted hand. Zetos looked down at it, bemused.
"I have wronged you, Zetos," said Numeon. "And my brothers aboard this ship," he added, regarding the others. "I let my own selfish desires almost overwhelm us. And I raised my hand against you in anger when I should have offered it in brotherhood."
After a moment's pause, they locked forearms in the manner of warriors.
"I am surprised you left his side, Numeon. I had begun to think you believed only you were worthy enough to protect our father."
"As with many of my decisions of late, I was wrong. I know where I am needed. Humility,"
said Numeon. "Vulcan taught us that. He teaches us still, even without the breath in his body, to speak the lesson."
"May his wisdom guide us," murmured Vorko.
Gargo had done his best to patch up the legionary's leg, but he still walked with a minor limp. Dakar nodded. Gashes from where his faceplate had torn into the flesh marred his mouth, nose, and neck. Abidemi's armor was scored and blackened in over 12 places, and facial contusions marked Zetos. Battered but unbowed, it was their way, their creed. Overcome any odds, as one, as legion.
"Do you have any use for my sword, Brother Sergeant?"
asked Numeon, releasing his grip on his brother's arm. Zetos's reply was heartfelt and genuine.
"It would be my honor, Captain."
Zon pressed his gauntleted hand against the inner hull of the Charybdis.
"The wounds run deep. Her spirit is a little raw, but she's not done yet."
Cracks and tears ran through this dermal layer of the ship's superstructure across the entire deck. Lamps strafed back and forth, revealing further damage. Bent stanchions, ruptured armor plating, fractured seals between sections, it all needed welding and making secure. Dust motes, dislodged from the rafters by activity in the decks above, turned, but otherwise drifted in apparent stasis in the hazy light. No life existed down here. Zon had come to see one of several uninhabited areas of the ship, sealed and shut off, but still in need of repair. Nothing could survive in these ghost halls. No heat, no light, no oxygen. There were bodies, and they floated without gravity to anchor them. serfs too afraid to leave their posts or trapped when the ship was sealed. Zon barely saw them. He only saw the Charybdis and her wounded flesh in need of tending.
Odysseus said she had a strong spirit.
Gargo was standing nearby, piston hammering a piece of ablative inner plating over a fracture in the hull. Hordes of labor gangs toiled the length and breadth of the half-kilometer section, performing similar repair work. They wore rebreathers and atmosphere suits. Unlike the legionaries, who had maglocked their boots to the metal decking, the mortals used a cable rig to keep them from floating off into the dark to join the corpses unearthed by Zon's intrusion. The abject dark of the long, broad subdeck was lit by a profusion of sparks from arc welders and plasma tools.
"I thought this deck had been swept," said Gargo, nodding towards a body he had seen in the distance, then reaching for an arc welder proffered by a serf in grubby engineering overalls.
A cog tattoo circling the man's right eye marked him out as having received some mechanicum instruction from one of the engine seers aboard the ship.
"They shouldn't have been down here."
Gargo glanced at Zon as the tech marine engaged a plasma torch to cut away a chunk of badly bent wreckage.
"I detect the heightened emotion in your voice, brother. You feel for these poor souls and regret their lives were ended in this manner."
Shutting off the flare of his welder, Gargo turned to Zon.
"Don't you?
Where you see flesh and bone, I see cogs in the inner workings of this ship."
Gargo shook his head.
"Did the Martians strip your humanity as well as your humor, Tech Marine?"
Zon didn't answer immediately, considering his response.
"Engaged in a mechanized task, it takes an effort of will for me to see as you see," he admitted. "I regret the loss of my Nocturnian compassion and humanity, but I know my sacrifice is for the betterment of my legion."
Zon gestured to the vast, expansive deck. His words would have echoed and not resonated through Gargo's vox had there been air to carry them.
"It is mundane work, but necessary. A gang of labor serfs could easily do it, unsupervised."
"So what am I doing here, then?"
asked Gargo, taking up the arc welder again.
"Ensuring the Charybdis doesn't fall apart, as am I. Becoming a cog, my brother."
Gargo went to work, securing the bolts. He was done in seconds. The serfs worked more slowly, but exhibited signs of agitation and nerves.
"This place scares them, I think. Something primordial about fear of the dark."
"And so you know the other reason for our presence," said Zon.
Gargo smiled. Perhaps Farkor Zon had not lost his empathy after all.
"Hardly the work of an artisan,"
said the Black Smiter, leaving the sealed section he had just finished and moving on to the next.
"I prefer durability over artistry in this regard, brother."
Gargo set the arc welder down, turning back to the piston hammer.
"I hope my presence down here is of some use, at least."
"You would prefer the forge?"
"There is much I would prefer, Zon. But no, the forge holds no refuge for me anymore."
Much had been lost in the betrayal at Istvan V. Many in the Legion spoke of trust, of martial efficacy, and the death of Primarchs. But there were smaller, more personal losses, too, that were often overlooked. For Gargo, it was his right arm. Under-resourced, poorly supplied, the bionic was crude by even the basic standards of the Legion. From master artificer, Gargo had become little better than a cripple, at least in his eyes.
"By entering this ship and setting forth on this voyage, we all stepped into a crucible," said Zon. "No one will emerge unscathed. Some of us will not emerge."
Zon stopped and turned his head. Gargo ceased hammering and tried to see whatever had caught Zon's eye.
What is it?
Something else down here.
Zon unclipped his bolt pistol.
Threat?
Asked Gargo, gesturing to an arming serf.
Movement where there should be none.
Zon glanced to an engine seer who was running the labor gangs.
Keep working.
He then set off towards the source of the disturbance, with Gargo behind him. The blacksmiter racked the slide of his bolter, slamming a shell into the breech, ready to fire. Lacquered black, with a serpent-mouthed snout, a twin-nozzle flamer sat snug under the weapon's main barrel, and a chain-blade bayonet hooked out from beneath the muzzle. Gargo had named it Draken, after the fire-spitting worms of Themis, asserting it had both fangs and flame enough to match those brutal creatures. Through his amber lenses, he calculated atmospherics, distance, and spatiality, but he could find no biosign, nor any evidence of what had alerted the tech marine.
It is anomalous,
said Zon, cautiously advancing and activating the servo arm slaved to his power armor's generator.
Death Guard?
A kill squad left behind after the previous invasion? Inconclusive.
But it's possible.
If so, why have they not attacked yet?
Gargo activated his helmet vox, but nothing came back except static.
Links down!
Zon turned abruptly. Gargo could tell by the tech marine's expression that it should not be, even this deep in the ship.
Unusual.
Could be a signal jam.
Zon looked back to where he had detected movement. The deck was vast, like a hangar, its echoing hallways long and deep. Bodies floated out in the gloom, clenched by rigor mortis and barely visible but for their frozen silhouettes.
Whatever it is, the tech marine replied, we must find it.
Leaving the arc flares and spark flurries of welders behind, Zon and Gargo ventured into the dark, where nothing stirred but the dead.